yesterday in reflecting on the parable of the lamp, I pointed out something that happened to stand out in my own reflections, that Jesus suddenly shifted from the idea of the lamp shining to the importance of our hearing. You might remember that from yesterday. He talks about putting a lamp on a lampstand and everyone can see it. And then all of a sudden he says, take care then how you hear. I said, well, he's talking about shining, shining, shining. And all of a sudden he says, take care how you hear. And I said, well, it's because we have to hear before we can shine. We have to receive before we can give. That was the point I made. And when I was reflecting on that yesterday, and I threw out the example of the Annunciation and the Visitation, I said, you have to have Annunciation before you can have Visitation. You have to receive before you can run into the hill country and give. It was a Marian reflection on that passage. When I said it, I was thinking probably a scripture scholar would dispute that, but I don't care too much about that because pondering has to be free. Well, now, I didn't realize that the very next verses would actually have Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his other relatives, called his brothers, who are identified in the gospel. So I said, oh, maybe I was right after all. And if you think about it, the way Luke has arranged his gospel, there's the parable of the sower. We heard that a couple days ago. Then there's the parable of the lamp. And then there is this encounter of Mary and Jesus' words about who is his mother and who are his brothers. They are, and he says it this way, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. We know this passage perhaps from Matthew and Mark. Matthew and Mark put it a little bit more harshly. In those versions of this story, Jesus says, who is my mother? And it's very jarring to have somebody ask, who's my mother? He knows who his mother is. Luke doesn't, he drops that one, because his emphasis is on hearing the word of God and acting on it. In Matthew and Mark, if you look at those passages, Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father. Doesn't say anything about hearing. But in this version, it's got this two-part instruction, hearing and acting. And I think this is what Luke is deliberately trying to teach us. And he uses Mary as the example, because Mary, in Luke's gospel, is presented as the one who treasures the word and ponders it in her heart. So she's a hearer, she's a listener, and she's a fruitful listener. So you could say she is one who took care, if you want to look at yesterday's gospel, she took care of hearing, and she put that light on a lampstand. She presents Jesus to the whole world. She's a great example of hearing and doing. And so in this gospel, when Jesus asks, he doesn't ask, but when he says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it, we can see more clearly he's telling us to be like Mary. He's not disowning Mary. He's saying, here's the example of what it means to be a fruitful disciple. In fact, it's more important to hear the word of God and act on it than to be one of his blood relatives. And this is true of Mary as well. Her holiness comes not merely from being the mother of Jesus. Her holiness comes from her purity, her immaculate reception of the word, and her perseverance in bearing fruit. So she's both mother of Jesus in the physical sense, and she's the only one, and in the spiritual sense, and for this she's the model of all of us. All of us are to hear the word of God and act on it. So it's a very clear message that comes from today's short gospel. Now, in the first reading, We have more Proverbs. As I mentioned yesterday, the book of Proverbs, at least these sections where there's all these little Proverbs, little sayings, these are like Christmas lights. And one Christmas light by itself doesn't give off that much light and might not even strike us as being particularly beautiful. But if you see a whole string of Christmas lights or a whole display of lights, you say, my goodness, how beautiful it is. And this is what the book of Proverbs is like. It's just many, many lights. It's like showing us lots of wisdom. And one of the recurring themes in the book of Proverbs is that it's a bad idea to choose to do evil. If you want to be wise, if you want to be prudent, if you want to be a good steward, if you want to be good soil, don't choose the way of the wicked. It comes up again and again. And the reason it comes up in Proverbs is that the choice of wickedness, or the choice of sin, or the choice of arrogance, or the choice of greed, bears bad fruit. It bears bad fruit. And this is, again, maybe an obvious lesson, but it's something to reflect on. Every sin is every temptation is an invitation to choose an immediate result at a cost of bad fruit in the future. So if we have a short view of things, if we're only looking at the immediate result, sin looks pretty good. You get the satisfaction, or you get the pleasure, you get the advantage, you get the power, you get the acclaim, or whatever you get, whatever we get from sin, it looks pretty good right now. But before long, you realize that was a really bad idea. I should never have said that. I should never have done that. I should never have bought that. I should never, whatever. And realize that was a wrong path to go down. Now, the Proverbs tell us ahead of time, don't go down that path. You see this again and again in today. You know, the arrogant man is punished. You know, the wicked man is brought down to ruin. The one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will find himself shut out himself, and all these things. One of my favorite ones is this one. Whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares. I love the image because you see the temptation. To make a fortune is a big temptation. Even if it takes some lying, some cheating, some corruption, to make a fortune by a lying tongue. A lot of people fall for this. You can see it in the news every single day. Somebody did some corrupt act or cheated on their company or, you know, walked off with millions. They made a fortune by a lying tongue. That's the short range view of it. Long range view of it, it's chasing a bubble over deadly snares. What's the bubble? The fortune. You think having a lot of money is a great thing? It doesn't look like that in heaven. It doesn't look like that when you're on your deathbed. What's all that money going to do? It's a bubble. It looks, you know, in a bubble. It looks so fascinating when it's floating in the air in front of you. But in 1 second, boop, and it's all gone. But the deadly snares are not gone. They remain. So the bubble pops, and what do you have? Ruin. So here it is, word of God. Whoever hears the word of God and acts on it. So here's the word of God, this array of proverbs, wise sayings. Each one of them is a light for us. If we take the light and we act on it, then we bear good fruit and we avoid the evil path. So it's a beautiful instruction, an encouraging one. And if ever we find ourselves so strongly tempted, let's call back to mind this lesson. Hear the word of God, act on it. Hear the word of God, act on it. Don't choose the way of the wicked. That's like chasing a bubble over deadly snares. And if that doesn't dispel the temptation, call on Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The example of Mary and the intercession of Mary is a guaranteed help in pursuit of being a fruitful disciple of the Lord.